Wednesday, September 6, 2023, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is going well. If you're here in the States, you might be having a short week, so I hope that you're enjoying that and that you and your family and friends are all staying strong and healthy right now. And you know what else? I really hope that you enjoyed that first full weekend of college football. Holy cow. What was going on there? You know, I know that a lot of times we hear from the sports media and from sports fans, there are never any surprises in college football. Every year, we get the same old SEC teams. We get one Big 12 team. We get one ACC team, and that's the playoff, and we already know who's going to win. It's going to be Alabama. It's going to be Georgia, whatever. Hey, this week, we started the college football season off with a number of surprises. Of course, Colorado smacked TCU around, and now they're acting like they beat Alabama. Florida State pounded LSU and Brian Kelly. Who saw that one coming? Thought Brian Kelly would at least have his boys ready. Duke beat Clemson by 3 touchdowns. What is going on? The Pac-12 looks strong. The SEC look pretty average. Georgia players and coaches keep getting arrested. Alabama players keep getting hurt. And Texas State beat Baylor on the road. What in the world is going on in the world of college football? Are we like about to see just surprise after surprise after surprise all year? Kind of starts to feel that way, doesn't it? I mean, maybe. Just maybe. In this final year of the four-team playoff, and in the final year of the Pac-12 and the Big 12 and the SEC and the Big 10, as we currently know them, maybe we're going to be in for a wild and crazy an absolutely unforgettable season. Maybe this is just how the year's going to go. Or maybe, just hear me out, we might be overreacting just a tad to one single week. And you know what's more likely? Things are probably going to balance out like they usually do. But hey, it was fun for 1 week, right? Hey, before we jump in today, just want to make sure to let you know to be stopping by DailyDoseSports.com, where we have new articles going up every week. In fact, this week, we released an article about some of the winners and losers from that first week of college football here in my Rocky Mountain region. But we also have links to the podcast, we have links to the YouTube video, and yes, we have links to Daily Dose gear. If you need some Daily Dose gear in your life, make sure you're stopping by DailyDoseSports.com every single week. Hey, today on the show, we are doing something different. We are going to be joined again by a few friends of the show to get ready for that 2023 NFL season that kicks off already tomorrow night. You know, last week we began, we got halfway through each team in the NFL. This week, we're going to finish each team up and we're going to be making our picks for the Super Bowl. In fact, we have so much to get to today, we need to jump in right now. Back again this week, right now on the Daily Dose, we are joined by some friends of the Dose to continue to preview the 2023 NFL season that promises to be wild, that promises to be unpredictable, that promises to be entertaining as it always is. First up, we have the savvy veteran Larry from Centennial is joining us here on the Dose. Larry, welcome back again this week.
Thank you, Clint. It's good to be back. You're kind of breaking into my, you know, ski season, pre-ski season research, and but I'm glad to be here with you and my friends here.
Are you doing any fishing at this time of the year? Have you getting up and getting some fishing in? I know you like to do that sort of thing.
It has not been a fruitful fishing season.
What
I hate to say. I know.
Wow, and now you're already turning your attention to skiing.
Yeah, it's a quick turnaround, Clint. I don't know.
I know nothing about it, so I don't have a clue. I literally have no idea. Next up, we have Denver Bronco fan, long-suffering Denver Bronco fan, and NFL historian with us today, Mike from Castle Rock is stopping by. Mike, welcome back to the Dose as usual.
It's always fun, man. I can't wait to wrap up the second half of this and, you know, see how we can giggle at each other at our mid-season break.
Finally, we have acting Daily Dose I-Team president who has now started this week. This will be his third week in a row on the Daily Dose. Big Rob is joining us again. Rob is feeling good about his West Virginia Mountaineers. He's feeling good about his Philadelphia Eagles. Rob, you're on week three right now. My goodness, when are you getting a paycheck out of this whole thing?
I've been checking the mail. Hadn't come yet. But,
You know, last week on the Dose, we discussed a few of the storylines for the upcoming season. And then we previewed the AFC and NFC East and the AFC and NFC North. We made some picks. I'm going to get to those in just a second. But before we dive into the NFL, I've got a question for everybody that we got to throw out here. I've got to get your thoughts. I've got to get some background on what's going on because we have been going through this dry stretch. You get from end of what, the NBA, and then we have this long wait for something to start. I've got to ask, I'm going to go with Rob first. Me and Rob have talked about this a little bit just personally. What have you been watching to survive? Because there's nothing on. What have you been doing to get through these last few months?
It's been tough. I've tried to force myself to watch baseball.
Wow.
Which hasn't been great. But yeah, that's it. Catching up on some shows and documentaries. And like you said, just waiting for football.
Have you seen any good ones? Are there any that are worth mentioning?
There's a couple. I think the quarterbacks on Netflix is an interesting watch.
That was solid,
Telemarketers, HBO Max, interesting.
Rob, you told me about Telemarketers, and I watched a couple episodes of that. I had to shower when I got done. That's a documentary, and it is wild. I have never felt so dirty in my life. I needed like a Silkwood shower when I was done with those two episodes. That is a wild show that Rob has me watching now. And now I have to find out how it ends. Like, I can't just let it go. I've got to find out what happened on it. Larry, I know you know you're doing you haven't been doing any fishing. You haven't been doing any skiing. So what have you been doing? What are you watching these days? How have you been surviving?
No sports. I mean, what? To speak of, to be honest with you, like you said, it's super dry.
Yeah.
I'm improving myself. Okay. I've been reading listening to a lot of books. So that's kind of what's kept me busy. But that's really it. The TV's been off for the most part.
Wow.
Yeah.
What is the best book that you can recommend to us? You got anything that's worth talking about?
Well, I do. It probably won't go over well. It's a book by Cormac McCarthy called Blood Meridian.
Okay.
And it is a complex read or listen either way. So it's one that you probably have to do twice. But if you're up for it, it's a good one.
That doesn't sound like I'm going to make it through that, Larry. I'm going to be very honest with you. You've got complex in the title. I know that that's going to probably not be down my alley. Mike, I know you've been traveling the world. You've gone all over the place. But what have you been doing to kind of bide your time until the football season starts?
Yeah, you know, weekends are usually spent up in the mountains, hiking and climbing. Kind of like Rob, I've been catching up on some shows that, that I don't watch when the sports are hot and heavy. So, sure. Just trying to get through until the NFL and college football starts.
Best show that you've seen? What's the show that you're into that you're watching?
The Last of Us has been really good. I'm still waiting to finish that off. 1883, kind of a prequel to Yellowstone, really surprised me at how well done that one was.
Okay.
The new season of Justified is awesome. I don't know if you ever saw the original, but that was fantastic.
I did. I really liked it.
With Timothy Oliphant, definitely watch the new one. So there's some good stuff.
It looks like you're on the set of Yellowstone right now. So I kind of like that idea as well.
Yeah,
looks like
you're... that's Southern Colorado, but close enough, right?
I'm waiting for Kevin Costner to come riding up at any second. And his daughter, I keep looking along the fence line for his daughter to be in the tub.
Take me to the train station.
Yes, exactly. I've been doing the same thing. I have watched a lot of, sports documentaries. I watched Hard Knocks. I did watch Swamp Kings this past weekend. I did watch Swamp Kings. Now, I will warn you ahead of time, It feels very much like an infomercial for Tim Tebow and Urban Meyer. It doesn't go down any of the paths of things that it doesn't talk about Aaron Hernandez, doesn't talk about the Pouncey twins beating folks up. It doesn't talk about Percy Harvin punching a coach or whatever in the face. So it doesn't go into the controversial stuff. But if you like Tim Tebow and Urban Meyer, then you're going to like it. If you enjoy, they came out on top, attaboy, then you're going to. So I enjoyed it. But if you were looking for the controversial subjects, it is not there. I did watch Quarterbacks, which was very good. But yeah, it's a tough time of year to try to make it from spring until now. But now, you know, we just finished our first week of college football. That's really fun. And now this week, tomorrow, we have our first NFL game. It's going to kick off and we are going to be going. Okay, like I said, last week, broke down some storylines. We kind of went through the AFC and NFC East and AFC and NFC North. We're going to finish up with the AFC and NFC South and West divisions. And then we are going to be making our picks for the playoffs and for Super Bowl 58. Like I said, it is in Las Vegas, Nevada. And honestly, fellas, what could possibly go wrong in a place called Sin City? I mean, you got hookers, you got fights, you've got arrests, you've got betting. Who has the first prediction? Who's going to throw out the prediction? This guy is getting popped into Chicken Ranch come Super Bowl. Well, we'll get to that a little bit later in the show. But I want you to keep in the back of your mind because you know you're already thinking about it. Let's jump back into our divisional previews and let's go over to a couple of divisions. Let's say they have some things in common. Because while some of these previews, we did some last week, it feels like every team in the division could win it if things kind of break right. The AFC and NFC South, I kind of wonder if anyone's going to win either one of them. Let's start in the AFC South with the Houston Texans. The Texans went 3-13-1 last year. They got to be feeling good about their offseason. They drafted two players that they are hoping are going to be cornerstones for the future. They have Ohio State quarterback C.J. Stroud, and they got Alabama pass rusher Will Anderson. New head coach D'Amico Ryans, he brings a lot of excitement. This should no longer be one of the worst teams in the league. They're starting to get better. But I think it's going to be a long road to get to that level. Mike, do you feel like the Texans should bite the bullet, start rookie C.J. Stroud, or should they go with the veteran and local draft Davis Mills?
Well, I don't know. I didn't pay that much attention to him in preseason, right? So I don't know how game-ready Stroud may be. I think you're going to have to work him in. Whether it's 2, 3, 4, 6 games in, you know, you want to be careful, right? You don't want to
don't break it.
David Carr him. So yes. I don't think starting him right off the bat is the right move.
I would agree with that. And you know, the part that I struggle with, who do they have to catch it? So the offensive line, maybe you can kind of work that around. It's not a horrible offensive line, but it doesn't have any receivers. Mike, do you have Houston making any run at a playoff here?
No, I mean, they could have a successful season and double their win total and still be picking in the top 10. So, no, they're a few years away from being relevant.
Sure. Rob, you grew up in the Houston area. You feeling a little bit better about these Texans?
Yeah, I think they made good moves. But like Mike said, probably still 2-3 years out at least. Yeah, definitely not making the playoffs, but I think on the right track.
Would you go Stroud or would you go Davis Mills here?
I go Davis Mills. No need to rush it. You know, you're not in win now mode. You still have a lot of pieces and things to figure out. So, yeah, I let Mills go ahead and start it out.
All right. We've got two votes for not making the postseason. Larry, you going to change this up? You going to put Houston into the postseason?
Division winner.
No. All right.
They're not making the playoffs. But you know, how many times does this scenario play out during the year where, you know, the right thing to do is to start Mills? But then, you know, it's such a pressure cooker, right, for the NFL. Then, you know, you don't get the win and you don't get the next win. And let's put the kid in and you blow that up and he loses his confidence. You know, this is, the same type of situation, I think. Yeah. But no, I don't have him sniffing the playoffs at all.
Yeah. If you're D'Amico Ryans, I'm really hoping that he kind of has some assurances. We know it's a young team. You're going to struggle. Just build it up. Let's get it going. And then we can kind of put this kid in. Don't feel like I've got to do this. My job's on the line. Your first year in, I'm really hoping he kind of gets that going, because that franchise has been a long time in rebuilding. They're rebuilding, right. It seems like, almost every year. We moved next to a really confusing team. We thought for the last few years that the Indianapolis Colts were like a quarterback away from being a playoff contender. So they brought in Matt Ryan. They brought in Carson Wentz. They brought in Phillip Rivers. And they didn't win a thing with any of them. This past season, the Colts went just 4-12-1. So they fired head coach Frank Reich. They brought in Eagles offensive coordinator Shane Steichen. Well, now running back Jonathan Taylor wants out. But Rob, the question I have for the Colts, what if, and I'm just lobbing this idea out there, what if the failures of the Colts franchise are not actually due to the coaching or the quarterback, but they're due to the drunken owner who is a complete and total buffoon? Is that possible?
It is possible. Little Jerry Jones-esque.
Yes. And he's an idiot.
Yeah, Colts, I do like the hire. I like the coaching hire. Anthony Richardson, I think, will be interesting. But similar to the Texans, I think we're still probably 2-3 before they start making some noise. So I got them missing the playoffs, but I think on the right track.
Yeah, I hope they're on the right track. I'm starting to worry about that owner, that maybe he's just too much of a problem. Mike, how do you look at Indy this year? Are they going to do anything?
No. I don't know. Since Luck retired early, they've been struggling to put anything together, and it's going the wrong direction. So, they're battling with Houston for the bottom of that division.
Yeah, it doesn't look very good. You've got Gardner Minshew. You've got Anthony Richardson, like Rob said. Larry, do you go with the veteran, or do you put the young kid out there because the fans want to see it, and we know the fans know everything?
Yeah. I don't know. Minshew's not, he's not going to, get him to the playoffs. Richardson probably won't either. Your comments about the owner are spot on. Like, an owner shouldn't really have that much impact over, what happens on the field. But he seems to create a lot of chaos somehow, some way. And I think there's, like you said, it felt like they were on the right track there for a little bit. And then, some shoe drops and then, other things happen. No, I don't have them in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think they're going to struggle a little bit this year. And I worry for Anthony Richardson that he gets, we talked about a little bit before, he gets too much too soon. He's not ready to play. He's got big time ability. You're going to see highlights on TikTok or whatever, and you're going to go, oh my goodness, get that kid in the game. Yeah, except it's one play out of about 50. And if you put him in too soon, you're going to run the risk of, getting in his head and having some really, really dangerous things. I think we go 4-0 here. Colts not making the postseason. Let's move on. The Jacksonville Jaguars were the lone AFC South playoff team. Not only did the Jags make the playoffs, they managed to come back from a 27-0 deficit and beat the Chargers in the playoffs. Now, the Jags are a good young team. They seem to be finding their way with head coach Doug Peterson, and he's kind of leading them along, and I like that matchup. But, Larry, was last season a sign of things to come? Or is this just a big tease? Because we remember at the beginning, they were 2-7. They looked like garbage, and then they kind of figured out, which team are we going to see this year in Jacksonville?
Yeah. I think it was a sign of things to come. Okay. I'm on the Jacksonville bandwagon for as long as it lasts. It may blow up on me, but I've got them winning the division. I think they're, we've seen steady progress over the last couple of years. I think Trevor Lawrence is the real deal. They put some pieces around them. So I think they'll be pretty good this year, better than they were last year.
Yeah, they could be. Rob, Doug Peterson pretty well. He was in Philly. How do you like the Jags this year?
I like them. Doug Peterson, definitely a good coach. Like Larry said, I think they're definitely going in the right direction. Good talent, especially on the offensive side of the ball. I've got them winning the division easily.
Okay. Mike, you're up. Jacksonville going to be living up to this hype that they're getting in the preseason?
Well, I think so as well. There's so many teams, like we were talking about Detroit last week, how they finish the season and chomping at the bit to get to the next season. So they finished on a hot streak, had an incredible playoff game. They want more, right? And like you guys alluded to, Peterson, I really like him as a coach. Mm-hmm. I think we're probably going to go a clean sweep here. I got to win the division, and I don't think it's going to be close. That's a garbage division.
Yeah, it's not very good. I'm right there in the same boat. I really like Jacksonville coming out. The one thing I could see them starting a little bit slow. Expectations maybe a little bit high. Maybe they stumble and they kind of have to get their attention back. And Peterson's the right guy, I think, to bring that back. If it does happen, if they get out of the gate a little slow, I think he could say, okay, and coming down the stretch, they're heating up and they're playing much better football. Now they actually have some postseason experience. That's going to be a little bit different this year. I'm interested to see our picks as we get into the playoffs. Let's finish off the AFC South, though, and let's go to the Tennessee Titans, who also might be one of the most confusing franchises in the NFL. Last year, Tennessee goes 7-10, but they were kind of still in a playoff hunt, despite quarterback Ryan Tannehill missing some games with injury and his backups looking horrible. So this offseason, it kind of looks like Tennessee might burn it down. They said they wanted to deal Tannehill and running back Derrick Henry, but no one would take him. So instead, they went out and signed wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins. I don't even know what to make of this mess. It's bizarre. Yes, Tannehill now has some help. But Rob, if this goes poorly to start, are things so dysfunctional that it's just going to be everyone on their own agenda and it's just going to blow up?
Yeah, I think it's going to blow up. Like you said, they tried to shop everybody. They couldn't. So it's like, okay, well, I guess we'll keep everybody, which that doesn't make sense, you know, it's just bizarre. Going into the season like that. So I think Vrabel, very good coach. I mean, I think they'll be competitive. But yeah, if it starts off bad, or most of all, I think injury is what I'm worried about.
Yeah.
Again, Tannehill again. Derrick Henry, as good as he is, getting older, a lot of miles on him. So even DeAndre Hopkins, like I said, got some older guys there. So I think injury might derail this whole season. But if everyone's healthy, they'll be competitive. But ultimately, I've got them missing the playoffs.
Okay. Larry, what about you? We look at Tennessee and they bring in DeAndre Hopkins, but we've also seen some other wide receivers go there a little bit older in age, and they go there and that's the end. It's over.
Yeah.
That's the end. Is that what's going to happen here?
You know, all the things you guys have said are accurate. It's confusing. It's hard to gauge. Although I will say, I don't know that it necessarily blows up, right? I think they'll probably surprise us and win a few more games than they probably should. Who knows what's going to happen at the quarterback spot? And because I think in the back of their mind, right, they had all these plans and now they kind of have to hit the reset button and go with what they've got. We've always kind of had them on the edge of maybe making some progress. Yeah. I don't have them in the playoffs, but I also don't know that we won't see a team that goes out there and competes every week. I think they probably will.
All right. Mike, you finish this off. Tennessee Titans, they're going to do anything this year? They're just going to be a mess.
Yeah, I'm kind of more in the camp with Larry there. I don't think they're quite as bad. I don't think it's a disaster at this point. If Tannehill can stay healthy, I think Hopkins is a big help. I really do. Henry's a stud. This may be his last really good year, but he's a man child out there.
Yeah.
I like Vrabel. I don't have them, you know, with a horrible record, but I think the AFC is too stacked for what I think they're going to finish to make the playoffs. I've got them just out.
And I do too. And I'm kind of in the same boat with Rob, where I look at it and say, if you could keep Tannehill healthy, but if they end up going to like Will Levis, this is going to go out of control really, really fast, because I don't think he's anywhere near ready. And Tannehill's not the most durable guy. So I could see it going that direction. But all four of us agree, Tennessee, better luck next year. We move over to the NFC South, which is another division. Feels like no one might win it. I don't know. Last year, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers won the division, but they won it with a losing record. They got in kind of by default. Let's see what happens in the NFC South this year. We begin with the Atlanta Falcons, who went just 7-10 last year. And now they have their longest franchise streak of not making the playoffs. The Falcons were kind of a roller coaster. They would win a game that you didn't expect them to win. They would lose a game that they had no business losing. They were really kind of weird, but they're trying to focus on running the football and hiding that defense, which isn't very good. They drafted Texas running back Bijan Robinson. He should be a big help. He's a stud. They have decided that second-year quarterback Desmond Ridder is going to be the guy to get this team back to the playoffs. Mike, Desmond Ridder, they're just messing with us, right?
No, that's apparently the real deal. I think I remember a year ago, the four of us sitting here, I think almost all of us picked Atlanta for competing for the number one draft pick.
I think
you're right. I think they actually overperformed a little bit at 7 or 10. Quarterback, boy, the defense is terrible. I love the rookie running back. I think they're going to finish right about where they were last year, maybe even take a step back.
Okay. You're going to go right around that just under 500 mark, of course, in that division. That might be good enough to win the division. Who knows? But you've got them not making the postseason?
Correct.
Okay. Larry, you're up next. Atlanta Falcons, they going to get into the playoffs?
No, they're not. I'm right there with Mike. I think they're a bad team. Yeah, they drafted high and probably drafted okay. Ritter's not a killer out there, so I don't have them doing any. I don't think any better than they did last year.
Yeah. All right, Rob. Atlanta Falcons, are they going to make any run at this postseason?
This is actually my last team in. I got them in as a wild card.
Wow.
Yeah. Don't feel great about it, but right. I will say, like you mentioned, though, up and down last season. Yeah. It's a run first team, so we don't need Ritter to do a lot. Bijan, I think, could be one of those generational talents in a terrible, terrible division. I think they get enough wins to just barely sneak in. Again, not making any noise in the playoffs, but this is my pick this year, that one team that probably shouldn't pick, but who knows? Maybe so.
Rob, I have got the Falcons as my last team in, and I'm going to tell you why. Because they play such a soft schedule. They have a really ultra soft schedule in the division, obviously, but out of the division as well. Not only is it soft, it's one of the softest in the entire league. They're not going to face anybody. And so I think they not bulk up, 8 wins maybe, but maybe that's enough to get them in over there. And yeah, I'm going to put the Falcons in the postseason. I'm going to regret it for a long time, but that's all right. That's just kind of how we roll. Let's go next to the Carolina Panthers, who are now in full rebuild mode. They went 7-10 last year as well. They fired head coach Matt Rhule, and then they were able to draft Alabama quarterback Bryce Young. In comes former Indy coach Frank Reich. He's going to work with Bryce. That defense is average, although it might be getting better. Bryce doesn't have a ton of help around him. That is more my concern. Larry, if Frank Reich couldn't do anything with Matt Ryan or Carson Wentz and Phillip Rivers, how long before he gets poor little Bryce Young killed?
Quick. Yeah. I mean, this is one of those same scenarios where, they may not start the veteran, but then bring the young guy in. They start Bryce Young. It's going to be tough. And they're just not a good enough team to be able to put enough wins together to make the playoffs. Not a good team, not in the playoffs.
You've got Carolina out. Rob, you're next up. Carolina going to do anything with Bryce Young?
No, I've got Panthers out. Kind of like Larry said, it's kind of like a Justin Fields situation, like good young quarterback, but just no help around him. So I think he's going to struggle this year. So yeah, I got him out.
Okay. Mike, finish this up. I know you like the Frank Reich hire a little bit. How's he going to do with Carolina?
Yeah, I just think that's a tough situation.
Yeah.
I don't have any hope at all for Carolina making any noise this year out of the playoffs for sure.
Yeah, that's going to be really, really tough. They just don't have enough people. And again, we've talked about this kind of throughout the show, putting these young rookies in. It sounds like it's going to be Bryce Young's job to lose. Don't break him. I think that kid can win. I think he is going to be capable if you'll protect him. Take care of that young guy and let's see if he can do anything when you get some talent around him. Next up, the New Orleans Saints. They might actually be feeling pretty good about themselves. They went 7-10 last year, like everyone almost in this division. They missed the postseason. But they should be getting back running back Alvin Kamara, wide receiver Michael Thomas, and you have good young wide receiver Chris Olave, plus they bring in veteran quarterback Derek Carr. Now, this all sounds like great news, except that Alvin Kamara is suspended for the first 3 games. Michael Thomas hates football. Rob, is Derek Carr going to be part of the solution or is it going to be part of the problem down in the big sleazy?
Solution, I guess.
Okay.
Question mark?
Yeah, that didn't sound convincing.
Yeah, I got the Saints winning the division by default. Again, similar to the Falcons, schedule is super weak. They've got enough talent, on paper. They've got enough talent to make plays. you know, offensively, I think they'll be better. Carr probably is an improvement from what they had. Defense is getting older, but still enough to hold their own. So, yeah, this is my division winner, but don't feel great about it.
All right. Rob takes the Saints. Mike, New Orleans Saints, they going to make a run at a playoff berth this year?
Yeah, I think so. I think similar to Jacksonville in the AFC South, I think they win it. You know, they could win it at 8-9, right? They do have some talent. There's some question around the talent, like you mentioned. Derek Carr is, he's good enough to get you excited, and then you're Charlie Brown going up to kick the football, and Lucy pulls it away, right?
Yeah.
He has led the NFL in turnovers in the last 5 years, and they're never at a good time. So was it an upgrade? Maybe, but not by a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, winning the division, it could be, you know, hovering around 500 with that record.
Sure. Yeah. Fortunately, they play in the division that they do. That might be very well enough. Larry, you're going to finish off. New Orleans Saints, they've got Derek Carr. Are you believing in Derek Carr this year?
I don't know that I believe in Derek Carr to take them very far.
Yeah.
But I do think he'll get them in the playoffs. Like Rob said, default division winner. This year's example of the NFL needing to reseed, right, after into the playoffs.
I was before that.
They're going to be bad. The division's bad, but New Orleans wins it.
Okay. Well, we've got four votes for the Saints getting into the playoffs as division winner, no less. But we still have one more team to go because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers backed into the postseason last year. They had an 8-9 record, but in this awful division, that's good enough. But now Tom Brady is retired. That defense that had been pretty good is another year older. Head coach Todd Bowles, he struggled to get any offense out of this team last year with Brady. Now he has Baker Mayfield as his quarterback. Mike, how long before this defense gets annoyed and stuffs Baker Mayfield in his locker for turning the ball over in his own territory?
Oh, God. Todd Bowles is on the hot seat this year. It may not be his fault, right?
I mean, I would agree.
Given the keys to the Lamborghini with Tom Brady driving, but you take the biggest part of any franchise away from it, and you're going to suffer. You hit the nail on the head there. The defense is getting up. The team overall is getting older, right?
Yeah.
I don't see Baker Mayfield. He's a flashier version of Derek Carr.
Yeah.
You know, he's, you know, or a noisier one, you know.
Yeah, there you go. Outspoken.
He'll have some games that you're just like, oh, wow, did you see that? And then the next game he throws three picks and, you know, fumbles twice.
And says something dumb.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know. I think he, I read something where he becomes the first quarterback to start for four different teams in a 2-year time frame or something like that. It's goofy. So no chance for that team. They're going to fall off. They're going to be looking for a quarterback next year.
Okay. Larry, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, they did some things with Brady. They gambled on that one season and then they won, but things are going to be a little bit tougher now. What do you got Tampa Bay doing this year?
Yeah, times have changed, or not maybe, right? In the terms of people in Tampa Bay can go back to not really caring much about the team anymore.
Sure.
There's not much here. Baker Mayfield isn't going to make that impact just like he hasn't on the other teams that he's been with. So, no, I got him out of the playoffs.
All right, Rob, we're going to finish off with you. Tampa Bay, they're hoping they can pull something together this year. How are you liking their chances?
No, I'm in agreement with you guys. This is a crash and burn. Mm-hmm. Bad season here. Yeah, I think it falls apart mid-season, but definitely not making the playoffs.
Yeah, I think this could be a really, really bad season. I think, you know, like Rob said, I think they could really crash and burn. You've got a bad – the only hope that I'll give them, and this is going to sound insane, is that maybe they bench Baker partway through the season. They go to Kyle Trask, and maybe he gives them some kind of spark. I don't know. The defense is going to be older. They have wide receivers, but they don't have a whole lot else. They don't even have the running back anymore. I think this could be a really rough season for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. All right. We move to the division that is near and dear to, well, at least three of our hearts. That is the AFC West, which had two teams make the postseason last year. The Kansas City Chiefs went on to win the Super Bowl, and the Los Angeles Chargers, they did what they do too. So who is going to advance this year in the playoffs out of the AFC West? This is going to be a highly competitive division. You know, we talked about the AFC and NFC South neither being great. AFC and NFC West might both be great. This is going to be really fun to watch. We are going to start with our hometown Denver Broncos, who have not been to the playoffs since 2015. And last year, it might have been the most painful of all of them, because after we trade for quarterback Russell Wilson, the Broncos completely implode. They go 5-12. They fire head coach Nathaniel Hackett after just 15 games, and it couldn't have been soon enough. Denver ownership, though, went out. They hired the guy that changed Drew Brees from being a 500 quarterback to a Hall of Famer in Sean Payton, who now has to get this thing turned around, and he's got to somehow fix Russell Wilson. Larry, forget winning games. Can the Broncos just stop Russell Wilson from getting killed? He was sacked 55 times last year.
Well, that is a huge question. I don't know if they can or not. Wow. A lot of it has to do with, you know, Russell's decision-making, which from all accounts is maybe a little bit better this year. So they're going to be a better team. And granted, there's a little homerism here. I think look, last year we were on top of the world at this time last year, right? Things could not be better. And it crashed and burned. Another year in, I think we talked about ownership last week, this week. It makes a difference. And I think that with another year under the belt, a little bit different culture, a great head coaching move. I've got, again, a little homerism here. I've got him in the playoffs as wild card, but that is assuming there's a better performance on the field by Russell Wilson. Yeah.
All right. Mike, you're the next one up here. Denver Broncos, it's not just that they're losing. Last year, they lost so many close games that they legitimately could have won. They're going to find a way to get those balls to bounce their way this year.
I think so, and I think the coaching has a lot to do with it, right? He's trying to develop a winning culture, which we haven't had since Peyton Manning left.
Yeah.
I think we all saw the change in Russell Wilson once Hackett was fired.
For sure.
Okay, so he can't go anywhere but up. My problem is, can we put pressure on the opposing quarterback?
Yeah.
Our wide receiver depth is garbage. The injuries is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And can we protect the quarterback?
Yeah.
So I got us going 10-7 and just missing the playoffs.
Okay. Yeah. And that might be realistic. Rob, you're the only one that is actually objective here. We always go to you in these things, and you've been right most times when you picked this. How are you looking at these Denver Broncos this year with Sean Payton?
Well, I definitely like the hire. I agree with everything you guys said. Definitely an improvement, just coaching. But again, I'm worried about those injuries and just not enough time, to change that whole culture and all the things that Peyton's going to have to do. So I see a definite improvement. But because this is the AFC, I got him missing the playoffs.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really, really tough. I like that you can see a difference in Sean Payton, just the way they operate. The way he's has starters actually in their playing, the way they get to the line of scrimmage, the way there's a little more enthusiasm. And I don't mean to get too much on just the play harder kind of thing. But Sean Payton has a different way of running things. And I know that everyone kind of came down on Payton when he made those comments about Nathaniel Hackett. They all said, hey, you shouldn't say that about another coach. You shouldn't call out another coach. What I didn't hear was people saying, hey, Sean Payton's a liar. Because Nathaniel Hackett was absolutely horrible, and Sean Payton said it. Was he defending his own guy? Of course he was. But he wasn't wrong. Nathaniel Hackett was horrible. And by the way, we talked about what we've watched earlier. I've watched Hard Knocks. Fellas, Nathaniel Hackett's a weird cat. I don't know what's going on with him. I'm not going to make any comments about it. I'm just saying he's really, really weird. And I can totally see how not only would he rub Russell Wilson the wrong way, but he might rub the entire franchise the wrong way because he's a weird dude. He's a weird guy. It has to be better because it can't get worse. Like you guys mentioned, I think the injuries could be a problem. I don't think this team has enough depth yet, and you're going to need some time to get that. I'm going to have them just missing the playoffs, but maybe even, you know, like Mike said, with a winning record, maybe you get to that 9-8 kind of record, but the AFC is just so loaded. It's going to be so tough to make it, let alone the fact that in the division, you're going to be, it's a test every single day. It's not a soft division. The schedule is going to be difficult. So I'm going to have them much better, much improved. I think they're going to be more fun to watch, and I think they're probably going to miss the postseason. Let's move next to the Kansas City Chiefs, who came out on top of every close game they were in. They rolled to a 14-3 record last year, and then they win their second Super Bowl in 4 years. You know, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, it kind of seems like between them and maybe Travis Kelce, they can just overcome anybody who leaves the franchise. It doesn't matter if it's a coach, it's a player, whatever. They just kind of tool themselves and, okay, we're just going to keep on rolling and keep winning. Patrick Mahomes is absolutely in his prime, but they lost more people this year. Lost a couple wide receivers. Lost a couple of offensive linemen. Rob, as successful as Patrick Mahomes is, would you be willing to trade lives if you had to live with that shrew of a wife and that weasel of a brother that he has?
No, absolutely not.
See? It's not always good to be the king.
But yeah, football-wise, Mahomes is great. And like you said, they did lose a lot. All those close wins goes their way. Mahomes is good. Is he that good to do it again? Do you always win the close games? I'm not so sure. So I have him as a wild card. Still making the playoffs. Again, still very good.
Yeah.
Definitely a winning record. I think they just take a slight step back, maybe even kind of like I talked about with the Bengals last week, a little complacency there, knowing that the Super Bowl is the goal. So yeah, wild card team, winning record again. And yeah, we'll see.
Okay. Larry, we haven't had a back-to-back Super Bowl champion since I think 2002, 2003, right in that area. It is really, really difficult to do. Can these Kansas City Chiefs do it?
Yeah, but they're the newer version of the head coach quarterback that we saw with Tom Brady and Belichick. I mean, just they'll find a way to kind of fix the pieces that they may have lost or that are broken. And it may not always look pretty, you know, during the season. But there's nothing here that tells me that they won't be back in the mix in the postseason with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and the other, you know, talent that they have on that team.
Sure. Yeah, they're going to be tough again. You have them in the playoffs?
Yeah, division winner.
Division winner. Okay. Mike, you are last up. Kansas City Chiefs, they just keep coming back. It doesn't matter. They just plug new people in and everything works. They're going to do it again?
Yeah, they are. You know, it pains me to say that, but Kelce's going to end up being the best tight end in history, I believe.
Yeah.
Mahomes is going to end up, if he stays healthy, as a top three quarterback in NFL history, maybe number one. The dynamic offense overcomes some of the shortcomings of the defense. I don't see anybody challenge. I got to win in the division. I don't see anybody challenging for it.
Okay. We've got two division winners. Rob, you went wild card winner. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to go wild card as well. I'm going to put one other team just ahead of them, and I'm going to go wild card with the Chiefs, but we all have the Chiefs getting in, and like we all talked about, if they get in, they're a threat to win it. They're just that good. The Las Vegas Raiders came out in the first year of new head coach Josh McDaniels with a 6-11 record. The offense was okay with Derek Carr throwing to Devontae Adams often. He threw to Darren Waller. He handed the ball to running back Josh Jacobs. Despite the offensive line not being what it used to be, they were still able to have some success on the offense. But in the offseason, they didn't address the offensive line. They looked at other areas. Meanwhile, the Raiders' defense was pretty awful, and they didn't address it either. So now Carr's gone, Waller's gone. They brought in often injured quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo, and Josh Jacobs is back in the fold now. He's kind of holding out with a contract situation, but he's back. And a lot of times we know when you've been out, you come back in, they want to put you in right away. That can sometimes lead to maybe a health situation. Mike, Raiders management, like, they're just drunk, right? They didn't address any of their shortcomings. They went and did some other things. They had a weird offseason, I thought.
Yeah, they kind of did. I mean, at best, I think Garoppolo's a lateral move. I think it's actually a step back from Carr. Losing Waller's big.
Really big.
You know, it's to have a top, I don't know, five tight end on your team is really critical in today's, you know, throwing NFL. So I don't know. I don't see much hope for that team. Davante Adams may end up getting frustrated because I don't know if Garoppolo can throw it past 20 yards.
True.
It's I have missed in the playoffs, but by a pretty wide margin.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Rob. Las Vegas Raiders. They going to make any run at the postseason berth this year?
Not at all. This is another crash and burn candidate for me. Like you said, offseason didn't really make sense. You can make the case they actually got worse. But yeah, definitely not making the playoffs. This could be a bad one for them.
Okay. Larry, you're the last one up with the Las Vegas Raiders. Are you a believer in Jimmy G?
No, and I'm not a believer in our buddy either at the head coach spot. Yeah. Too many weird, like everybody has said, just a strange decision-making in the offseason doesn't bode well for much success during the season. I got him out.
Okay. Yeah, I think we're all in agreement there. Raiders, I think they're going to have a lot to do. And you know, one thing we talked about, Jimmy G has a history of being hurt. Now he's playing behind a much worse offensive line than he was with San Francisco. That was a good offensive line. Now he's behind a bad offensive line. Got a feeling injuries could play a little bit of a part in his season this year because that's just kind of how he rolls. We finish off the AFC West with the Los Angeles Chargers. Honestly, they look like an all-star team on paper. Quarterback Justin Herbert, he's got running back Austin Eckler, he's got Mike Williams, he's got Keenan Allen, he's got Quentin Johnson, he's got Gerald Everett. The defense has Joey Bosa, they have Khalil Mack, they have Derwin James. Last season, this group went 10-7. They were up 27-0 in that playoff game against the Jaguars, and then the Chargers did what they do. They pooped their pants in crunch time. Head coach Brandon Staley is on a bit of a hot seat. The Chargers stayed reasonably healthy last year, too, which is kind of something I want to throw in because they had things kind of break their way and it still didn't work. Larry, is this all the curse of Marty Schottenheimer? What is going on with the Los Angeles Chargers? They should be great, but they never are.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know. They're a great team on paper, like you said. Maybe, I don't know, they might be the best team on paper.
You're right.
In the NFL, right?
Yeah.
But it doesn't always work that way. Although, I chalk this one up to, you know, learning lessons, yeah, right, from seasons gone by. I think they'll be a little bit better. I think they'll make the playoffs. I have them as a wild card. And they may, you know, they may put everything together. Who knows? But gosh, they're sucking you in, right?
Because, how can you not? They look so good.
They do look good. You know, the AFC West as a whole this year, I think, you know, there's the Chargers and I think Kansas City. The Raiders are going to be a gimme. So I don't know how, you know, I don't know how tough the division actually really is other than, you know, these teams. But I got him in. I got him in and making some waves in the playoffs. I got him in as a wild card.
Okay. All right. Easy. Yep. Rob, you're up next. Los Angeles Chargers look like they should be the deal. How many times is Brandon Staley going to go for it on fourth down inside his own 10-yard line?
He's going to cut that out this year.
Is he?
And, yes.
Okay.
And that's why I have them winning the division. Yeah, Staley relaxes on the fourth down calls. I think the Kellen Moore hire as the offensive coordinator helps a lot. And like you said, just talent-wise, you know, just looking at their talent, looking at the roster, this, you know, I would put that roster over the Chiefs. As great as Mahomes is,
yeah,
as great as Kelce is, outside of those two, I mean, you can make a case. All the other players, you know, are coming from the Chargers. So I like them again this year. Like I said, they're going to win the division barely, you know, by a game or two over the Chiefs. And, yeah, we'll see what happens from there.
All right, Mike, finish this off. AFC West. Los Angeles Chargers, they're loaded, but we've seen them loaded since the days of Fouts and Joyner and Chandler and J.J. Jefferson and Winslow. We've seen this for years. What are the Chargers actually going to do with it?
They're going to go in as a wild card.
Okay.
And lose in the second round. That's what I got. Right. But I think, like we're all talking about, they're so talented. And I like what Rob said about Kellen Moore. I think he might put a little extra spark in that offense, which was already a very good offense. So, yeah, I got him Second place, wild card in the division.
Okay. I mean, they are so loaded. And one key difference, they've got people on both sides of the ball. I think that if it wasn't for the name, you'd pick them. But the name is really, really important in this situation. By the way, brief side note, Larry's son is kind of a dead ringer for Justin Herbert, just throwing that out there. So we reach the final division in our NFL preview, and that is the NFC West, which right now is kind of made up of the haves and the have-nots, but they did send two teams to the playoffs last year, and they could do it again. Let's start off with the Arizona Cardinals, who have been on a downward slide. Last year, they went 4-13. They fired head coach Cliff Kingsbury. Quarterback Kyler Murray blew his little knee out. They traded away DeAndre Hopkins. Now they've traded away Isaiah Simmons. This team is blatantly tanking. We might need to get, I don't know, David Stern involved or something here. Rob, is the Arizona Cardinals franchise going to be the worst team in the league?
I think they might. Yeah, this is another crash and burn, definitely. And I really hope they do finish last, because that's going to bring an interesting question for the draft. Because if you think about Caleb Williams potentially being the number one, do you draft another quarterback when you have Kyler, or do you still believe in Kyler? So that's going to be interesting. But yeah, definitely it's in the playoffs and hopefully the worst team in the league.
Mike, you're up next. I give you the choice. You can take Caleb Williams. You can keep Kyler Murray in that giant contract. What are you picking?
Oh, I'm guessing that behind the scenes, the Arizona management is trying to think of a creative way to restructure that contract.
You would think so.
Maybe give them a huge signing bonus up front so they can get it off the books after this year. That team, it's before game one, they're in fire sale mode.
Yeah, that's the crazy part. They're like full on tanking.
They may be knocking on doors at, you know, at the local JUCO trying to get people to suit up before the trade deadline when they trade for more capital, right? Sure. So, bottom of the basement, top three pick easy for this team, probably one. That's going to be an ugly, ugly team in the desert.
All right. Larry, we're going to finish off with you. Arizona's got problems. It looks like they're already trying to tank. If you are the owner down there, do you put that big contract extension up on top of the refrigerator so Kyler can't reach it?
On top of the mini fridge, too.
Correct.
It's not even a full-size fridge.
No, it's like a pound cake.
I have no idea what these guys are thinking down there. Yeah, of course you got to tank because, well, they might not even have to try and tank. Right.
Oh, right.
So they're going to pick the best player. It's going to be Caleb Williams. They're going to have to and I don't even know what that looks like going into next year.
I know, because you're going to have to eat a ton of cap.
Oh, and it's a spiral for these guys. I have no idea how they think they're digging out of this massive crater. I have no clue. So no, they're out of the playoffs, and they're in the number one pick business.
If we were picking the worst NFL franchise of all time, they're in the conversation. I don't know that they get it, but they're like Cardinals, the Lions, obviously. I mean, the Browns had some history back in, I don't know, when we were the North and the South or whatever, but there's a lot of, but the Cardinals are probably a little bit underrated as being one of the worst franchises ever. They're just, correct. Oh, they're so awful. And I got to, again, I have to think this has to do with ownership. I know the ownership down there thinks they're doing the right thing. It just is such a disaster. The Los Angeles Rams, hey, they pushed all their chips into the middle of the table a couple of years. They won a Super Bowl. They succeeded. That was great. But now, you got to pay for all those chips because things are falling and they're falling fast. Last year, the Rams went just 5-12. Matt Stafford, quarterback that came in to kind of fix things. Now he's banged up. He's had some pretty serious problems. The offense is really, really struggling. Mike, I hate to bring this up, but I mean, does Aaron Donald just go out and kill some of his offensive teammates this year?
I don't see much hope for them improving much over last year.
I don't either.
I mean, they're a shadow of the team they were, you know, when they won a Super Bowl. can they keep Stafford healthy? They got some offensive talent. I mean, Kupp's a wizard.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah. You know, Higbee's a pretty good tight end. I don't know. I don't hold a lot of hope for this team. I think when you first started talking about this division, you said haves and have nots. These guys in Arizona are the have nots. I don't think that they sniff the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't either. I think they're going to have a really tough time. And you know, the crazy part about that team, as bad as the offense was, the defense wasn't really that good either. They'd have some showings here or there, but they weren't consistently good either.
Yeah, traded away their second best defensive player.
Right, right. And yeah, they've made some mistakes. I understand they gambled for the Super Bowl and they got it. Great. But now we're going to have to see how they put this back together. And really, I think we're going to see how good truly is Sean McVay. Rob, if you're looking at this Los Angeles Rams, can Sean McVay get them back to any kind of contention?
No, not this year. Like you said, they're still paying for that Super Bowl. A healthy Stafford and a healthy Cooper Kupp, I think, makes it interesting, makes it a good watch. But at the end of the day, I got to miss in the playoffs.
Yeah. Larry, finish us off. L.A. Rams, they going to do anything, or is this just going to be another L.A. disappointment?
Yeah, just like we've heard, there's a price to be paid for winning a Super Bowl the way they did, and they're paying it right now. So I've got them out of the playoffs.
Well, I think we're going to go 4-for-4 on that. Do not like those first two teams in that NFC West, but now we get to the two teams that are going to be very interesting, because we talked a little bit about the Los Angeles Chargers might be the most talented team in the league. One team that would have something to say about that. San Francisco 49ers, they also could be in that same boat. They went 13-4 last year. They made it to the NFC title game, and they got their quarterback knocked out of the game. But when you think about San Francisco, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, Nick Bosa, the question for the Niners is who is actually going to be their quarterback? Jimmy Garoppolo is gone. Trey Lance is gone. Brock Purdy looked really good at times last year, but he suffered that elbow injury, and they say it took 2 or 3 months before they could even do anything to it. Very strange elbow injury. It took a long time to recover. He hasn't really looked as sharp since. It looks like Sam Darnold is now the backup. Larry, is the quarterback going to be the downfall or the San Francisco 49ers? Or maybe with Kyle Shanahan, it doesn't matter who plays.
I think that Kyle Shanahan is a better coach than to let that happen with the quarterback. I think they've got a ton of great pieces around them. Very talented. I have them winning the division. And it may be, we may see, you know, combination of quarterbacks here. And maybe we actually see that Darnold has that talent that we never saw, you know, anywhere else. But I just think they're too good a team. And they're coached well. I've got them winning the division.
Okay. Yeah. Mike, we know Kyle Shanahan pretty well. We knew his dad obviously a lot better, but Kyle Shanahan, he just might be the kind of guy that can overcome these kind of changes. Is he going to be good enough to get the San Francisco 49ers into the postseason?
Oh, I think so. I think this is the type of team that's opposite of a lot of other teams that we've been talking about previously, right? This team can carry an average quarterback to the playoffs.
You're right.
Versus a superstar quarterback carrying an average team to the playoffs. So the defense is just stellar. That, you know, the front seven is ridiculous.
Yep.
The offensive talent is off the charts. Offensive line is fantastic. If they can get average to above average quarterback play from anybody?
Yeah.
Christian McCaffrey? I mean, come on. This team is just loaded. Yeah, I've got to win in the division. They're definitely going there. Yes.
Okay. Rob, finished us off with San Francisco. You like this team going into the season?
Yes, I do. But I have him as a wild card. Same thing you got. I'm not convinced on Purdy yet. He wasn't the guy. He came in. He played good. So he turned into the guy, right? You couldn't replace him after the way that he played. Like you guys said, the team is good enough to get them to the playoffs, but I think at some point maybe that comes back to haunt them, quarterback play. But yeah, definitely, like I said, into the playoffs for sure.
Well, it came back to haunt them last year against, you know, the Eagles in the championship game, so that's very, very possible. I'm going to put the Niners in as my division winner as well. I just think that team is very, very good. We finish off our 2023 NFL divisional preview with the Seattle Seahawks. Last year, it was widely thought the Seahawks were going to have a tough year. They had lost quarterback Russell Wilson. They had to go with Geno Smith. Geno Smith had the best season of his life. The Seahawks actually went 9-8. They made the playoffs. Rob, you're a West Virginia Mountaineer. You watched Geno close in college. Was last year a fluke? How much are you believing in Geno Smith?
Still buying in on him. Kind of like we mentioned, he doesn't have to do a lot. I think he's got a lot of weapons around him. I'm on the outside. They can run the ball. I think that defense would be better. So this is actually my division winner. Okay. I got them in the 49ers, you know, right there, pretty much same record at the end of the year. But I'm going to give the Seahawks, I'm going to give them the nudge because of Geno over Purdy. But yeah, I like the Seahawks this year.
All right. Larry, Seattle going to do this again, or was that just a fluke last year?
Yeah, I disagree with Rob. I think it was a fluke. Okay. I think they'll be – I don't think they're going to be at the bottom of the NFL, but I do think they need more than what Geno is total.
Okay.
And I actually don't have them in the playoffs.
Okay. Mike, we're going to finish it off with you. Seattle Seahawks surprised everyone last year. They're going to surprise us again this year?
Yeah, coaching overcomes a lot.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot to say about what Erickson did last year with, you know, all the changes that they had.
Did you say Erickson?
Yes, I did.
Wow. He's going back in time.
That's way, way, way old school. So I think they're going to have a similar record this year.
Yeah.
But I've got them as a wild card just because I don't think the NFC is as deep as the AFC.
Yeah.
So I don't see a lot of other teams outperforming them for that final wild card spot, which is where I have them.
Okay. Well, I've got the Seahawks, same thing. I've got them in as a wild card. I don't have them as the last team getting in, but I have them as the second to last team getting in. I think their record could be very similar, maybe a slight step back, or the season's, or the schedule's a little tougher. I have a hard time believing that Geno suddenly got good, but we know Pete Carroll, he's a really, really good coach, so maybe he's coaching him up a little bit. I'm going to have them scraping into the playoffs. Okay, fellas, things are going to get serious now. We've messed around long enough. Now we're going to get into this. I need each of you to lay out your top seven teams on each side, and we are going to say how things are going to finish. To give you some time, I'll let you stall. I'm going to throw out my playoff recap at this point. In the AFC, I'm going to have the Chargers as my number one seed, the Buffalo Bills at two, the Jaguars get the three, the Bengals are the fourth, the wild card, the Chiefs are the five as a wild card, the six is the Ravens, and the seven is the New York Jets scraping their way into the playoffs. We will move forward from there. We started this nonsense off. Larry, you're up at the top left there. Let's go with Larry. Larry, who are your top seven teams in the AFC?
All right. I've got top seven. I've got Cincinnati. I've got Kansas City. I've got Buffalo, Jacksonville, the Chargers at five, Baltimore at six, and Denver at seven.
Okay. Mike, you're up. What do you got?
You sound like a broken record. I've got the Chiefs as the number one seed. I've got the Bengals at two. I actually have the Jets at three, Jacksonville four, and then Chargers, Bills, and Baltimore, five, six, and seven.
All right, we finish off with Rob. Rob, what do you have for your AFC lineup right now?
Ravens, number one. Bills, number two. Chargers, number three. Jags, four. Chiefs, five. Bengals, six. Steelers, last team in.
All right, let's move over to the NFC side. And at my number one seed, I'm going to go with the Dallas Cowboys. My two is the Niners. I'm going to put the New Orleans Saints at three just because of that soft division. The Vikings get the four. Philly gets the five seed. The Seattle Seahawks get the six. And then the Atlanta Falcons are scraping in at the seven. All right, Larry, NFC, what do you got?
All right, I've got San Francisco one, Philadelphia two, Detroit three, New Orleans four, Dallas is my fifth, Minnesota is my sixth, and Green Bay is my seventh.
All right. Mike, you are up. Let's hear the NFC.
Philly.
Yep.
Niners. Minnesota. Let's go with the Saints at 4. Dallas. Detroit. Seattle.
All right, Rob, finish us off. Top 7 in the NFC.
We've got Cowboys 1, Seahawks 2, Vikings 3, Saints 4, 49ers 5, Eagles 6, Falcons last team in.
All right. I'm going to fast forward us to the AFC Championship game, and my pick for the AFC Championship game is going to be the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills playing in that game. Larry, AFC champ game, who do you got?
Kansas City, Cincinnati.
Mike, you're up next. AFC championship game, who's going there?
Kansas City, Cincinnati.
Wow. All right, Rob, finish it off. Who's going to the AFC title game?
Baltimore Ravens versus Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay. In the NFC title game, I'm going to go with the San Francisco 49ers going to Dallas to face the Cowboys. Larry, who do you got NFC title game?
Philadelphia, San Francisco.
All right, I like that. Mike, you're up. NFC title game.
I got a divisional game. I got the Cowboys at Philly.
Oh, that's a good one. All right, Rob, finish it off. NFC title game. Who's going?
We're going Eagles versus Seahawks.
Ooh. That's spicy.
He's loving those Hawks.
Yes. We finish off our NFL preview, and we are going to be making our pick for Super Bowl 58 in Las Vegas. And I'm going with my Super Bowl game is going to be Bills over Niners. The Buffalo Bills finally get that all elusive Super Bowl title. Larry, you're up. Super Bowl prediction. What do you have?
Repeat Super Bowl. Different winner. Cincinnati over San Francisco.
Oh, wow. All right.
From 40 years ago.
Well, yeah. they're going to run it back 40 years later. All right, Mike, you're up. Super Bowl 58. What can we expect?
I have the Eagles breaking the trend of losing one year and going back to the next.
Woo.
And beating the Bengals.
Over Cincinnati. All right. That's not a bad pick. I like that pick. All right, Rob. You've got a tough one here.
Yeah, I've got Eagles versus the Ravens, and the Eagles get it done this time.
It's an all Super Bowl.
Yeah, we've got all birds going there. Hey, we've got some interesting Super Bowl predictions here. We don't have any that are exactly the same. We've got a couple teams that are similar. Couple picks for Philly, couple picks for San Francisco. But other than that, we've got Cincinnati winning one. We've got Cincinnati losing one. Got a couple of interesting picks here. And as everyone knows that listens to The Dose, we nail this thing every single year. We crush this. We never have to reshuffle and redo. We just know this is how it goes. This is how it is. This is what happens every single year. So as usual, I want to thank each and every one of you for laying things out as they will be, not as we hope they will be. Very, very nicely done as usual. Let's finish this off. Rob, you got any final thoughts as we jump into the NFL season tomorrow night?
No, this was always a pleasure. Looking forward to the midseason recap just to confirm how right we were.
Yes, exactly. We just say, okay, we thought it was going to go like this, and guess what? It's going exactly like we said it would. That's always fun. The midseason recap has turned into a good time. Glad for bringing that up. Well done. Mike, you are up next. What do you got? Any final thoughts as we get ready for this NFL season?
Just so looking forward to the game tomorrow night and kicking this thing off for real. It's so much fun. I mean, you know, so at least in our time zone, it's every Sunday from 11 till about 10 o'clock at night.
Yes.
So, and then a couple doubleheaders on Monday nights and all that other fun stuff. So I love that this is finally getting started.
There is something truly special about getting up on even a Saturday morning, and you get up and, you know, 10 o'clock or whatever, the air is crisp. It's cool. You know, you're getting your late breakfast going. College football is starting. You're going, hey, for the next, like, I don't know, 30 hours, this is all I'm doing is just sitting here on the couch watching every single second that I possibly can. All right, Larry, you are up. The Wiley veteran. What do you got? What closing thoughts do you have on this 2023 NFL preview for us?
Well, just that I have a lot of projects I got to finish in the next, 24, 48 hours.
You do. You need to hustle.
I won't be doing anything after that. Yeah. Now this is the time of year. This is fun, man. This is what it's all about. So I'm looking forward to it.
And I'm
happy
too.
To spend this time too. This is great.
Yeah. You know, it's always fun when we get together. It's always fun to do these shows. Expect to be called back often to the dose because we're going to need some more input from each of you, but always good to catch up and always good to have, the NFL preview and let us know, hey, season is here. We are getting it kicked off. We are getting it started. And I can't wait because every year the NFL does live up to a hype. You might not like it. You might wish it didn't, but it always does. It's always highly entertaining. I want to thank each and every one of you for stopping by the Daily Dose as you have done over, like we talked about a little bit, over like the last 7-8 years. We always appreciate your visits.
Thanks, Clint.
Hey, next week on The Dose, we are going to be doing our best to recap all that we have seen already in the opening week of the NFL and all that we have seen already in the world of college football. There is going to be a ton to discuss. So be sure you tune into The Daily Dose and be sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you to our illustrious panel, Mike, Larry, and Big Rob for stopping by The Daily Dose and breaking down the 2023 NFL season with us. And I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for going over and checking out the new things going up each week at DailyDoseSports.com. But more than anything, thank you for sharing the podcast, for sharing the videos, for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody. Do you put that big contract extension up on top of the refrigerator so Kyler can't reach it?